This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Many local homeowners have seen their property taxes double or triple. Today, we're going to talk with the candidates for Hamilton County Auditor and Treasurer. These county officials have fielded a lot of questions about the tax spike. So we're going to start by taking a closer look at how these property taxes are calculated and who can reform the system. For that, we go to Mike Sobel, retired administrator of the Ohio Department of Taxation's Tax Research Division, in this recorded interview. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Thank you.
How are basic property tax rates calculated?
The rates are calculated based on primarily what the voters have done. There's a small portion of the rates that were decided back in the 1930s. Beyond that, the Ohio Constitution requires all property taxes to be subject to popular vote before they can go into effect. And so once those rates are done, then the rates are calculated by a combination of the county auditor and the Ohio Department of Taxation to align with the laws of the state.
So how much, if any, is the state itself responsible for in terms of the rate setting?
What the state does, the state oversees the rates because part of the rate calculations are based on changes in the valuation due to like a reappraisal like Hamilton County went through in 2023. And so the state actually calculates almost all of those rates.
And why did Hamilton County and why do other counties in general hire outside firms to conduct these reappraisals?
Mostly because reappraisals in Ohio were done once every 6 years. And so for most counties, it doesn't make any sense to have full-time appraisal folks on their payroll for something they do once every 6 years. So almost all of the counties in the state will hire a reappraisal company to do the work on their behalf when it has to be done, again, every 6 years.
Can you explain briefly how this reappraisal was done and, in your view, whether it was accurate or fair? As I mentioned, there was a lot of increases. A lot of people saw different increases.
The way the reappraisals are done, you know, theoretically, what's supposed to happen is that there is, in a reappraisal year like 2023 was, each parcel of property is supposed to be visually inspected by an appraiser to determine the market value of the home. That is done, you know, to a wide extent, but then the process that's used then to make sure it's correct, and it's done by both the appraisers and it's also done by the Department of Taxation in their oversight function, they're going to look at what are called valid sales of homes that have happened over the last year or two, and looking at the sale price of those homes relative to what they're valued for tax purposes before the reappraisal. And that's what's going to drive what happens to the values at the reappraisal, is the combination of the visual inspection and the analysis of what are called sales ratios.
Property taxes have gone up in some neighborhoods by double or triple, and others not at all, or some have even gone down. Why has this reappraisal, why have these increases disproportionately affected lower income neighborhoods? At least in Hamilton County, those seem to be the neighborhoods that saw some of the biggest increases.
That has more to do with how values are changing at the reappraisal. What we've seen, I don't think it's just in Hamilton County. I'm pretty sure they saw a similar pattern in Franklin County, which also went through reappraisal last year, is the value increases in the poorer areas as a percentage were higher than in some of the wealthier areas. And so when that happens, the taxes will go up by higher percentages, not necessarily higher dollar amounts, because if they're a lot lower valued homes, you know, the dollar value, it's not as much, but percentage wise, it can be.
And why is that? Is the idea that those homes may have been undervalued during the last reappraisal, or, what's the logic there?
There can be a variety of reasons, Lucy. It could be that there was undervaluation. It could be that those home values are just growing faster. If some of the other housing gets priced out of a lot of people's budgets, then what will happen is people will start looking at some of the lower priced homes, which may be in some of the poorer areas, and the increased demand may push prices up. So it can be that. We have seen where there was undervaluation in a prior reappraisal. We've seen that happen. It can be for a variety of reasons it may happen.
And when people are paying these additional property taxes, you know, an extra few hundred dollars or even an extra $1,000 because of this reappraisal, where do the extra tax dollars go?
It varies by place. I haven't looked at it in a while, but you know, the rule of thumb used to be that about 65% of all property taxes go to benefit schools. So again, you may have places where it's 70 or 75%. You may have others where it's 55 or 60%. But I think around the state, the average is about 65 cents out of every dollar of property tax goes to educate children.
And then where does the other 35 cents out of every dollar go?
Part of it's going to go to the county. It's going to go to a municipality or township that the person lives in. You may have Hamilton County has a county park levy, so it goes to the parks. I know in Franklin County, there's a zoo levy, so the piece goes to the zoo. Whoever has the levies, you know, that's where the rest of it goes.
Some taxpayers have been turning to local elected officials for answers about this. Oftentimes, the local elected officials will say, hey, this is something that you need to talk to state lawmakers about. What's your message? Who can voters turn to kind of figure out where to get answers, where to get relief? What can be done about this?
As far as answers, you know, there's a whole appeal process if they think their home has been valued unfairly. And that is usually through the county, and informally through the county auditor, and then more formally through the county budget or through the county boards of revision. It's a more formal process. For their individual home, if they're concerned in general, it really is a legislative issue. The laws are being applied properly by the county officials based on what the Ohio Revised Code says needs to happen. And the only way to change that is either by changing the revised code, or in some cases, it may take a constitutional amendment, because the state constitution also has some guidance on what can and can't happen.
What else should we be asking you to help people gain some clarity about these property taxes? There's been so much confusion, so much distress over these increases. What other questions are you hearing from people that you think would, you know, be helpful to answer?
I think one of the biggest thing, and we're going to really go off into a side tangent here because it explains a lot, is there's a concept within school levy law called the 20 mil floor. And what the 20 mil floor says is once a school district's current expense tax rate, no matter what they have voted in, is reduced to 20, and the rates get reduced as values go up because it's supposed to offset the increase in values. But once it hits 20, it can't fall any further. So if you have a district that's at what's called the 20 mil floor, and they get a 30% increase in their values, then the taxes on those 20 mils go up by 30%. They go up by whatever percentage the values change. Prior to the reappraisal, there were four districts in Hamilton County that were at the 20 mil floor, including the Cincinnati Public Schools. And so that's also part of the reasons why you saw the taxes go up so much in poor areas within the city of Cincinnati compared to some of the suburbs, is because of the effect of that 20 mil floor. you go into, say, the Sycamore schools, which is not at the 20 mil floor. And what happens is there, when the values go up, the tax rate gets reduced to offset the increase in values on everything, on most millage. And so the percentage increases in taxes in the Sycamore schools is going to be much, is going to be a lot lower than in the Cincinnati schools because of that 20 mil floor. Norwood was another district that was at the 20 mil floor going into this reappraisal. Again, that's a lot of Norwood is lower income. And so Norwood had those big increases as well. And again, most the really of the wealthier districts in Hamilton County, the only one it's now at the 20 mil floor, it was not before the reappraisal, was Indian Hill.
So with this 20 mil floor, what do these increases mean for a school district like Cincinnati Public Schools? And what do they mean for an individual taxpayer? It seems like they'd have a very different impact.
They very well could have a different impact. If you look at the reappraisal and the effect on the Cincinnati schools, and again, I've not done close calculations, I'm just approximating here, but Cincinnati schools as a whole probably saw maybe a 10 to 12% increase in their revenue due to the reappraisal. It sounds like a big jump, but the thing to keep in mind is that the updates in values are only done every 3 years. So that while it may be a 10 to 12% increase, that covers 3 years of time. So, you know, on an annualized basis, that's maybe 3 or 4% a year. It's not like they're getting 10% every year, you know, additional. You know, that's one thing. But the effect on the taxpayer can be very different. You know, that for a taxpayer whose valuations went up, say, at the exact same rate as the valuations in the city as a whole, they probably did see something like a 10 to 12% increase in their taxes. You take another taxpayer, and I think we saw some of this in some of the poorer areas, which goes back to your prior question. It may be that the values in some areas of the Cincinnati school district went up by 50%. Well, in those cases, those taxpayers probably saw increases rather than 10 to 12%, probably more in 18 to 20 to 22%. Range, because their values are going up faster than the whole. And conversely, if you're in a part of the city where the values went up at a lower rate, the actual increase, rather than 10 to 12%, may only have been 5 to 7 to 8%, because part of the millage that's not part of the 20 mil floor, they actually would be paying lower taxes.
This is so complicated. Is it this complicated everywhere?
Everywhere in Ohio or everywhere in the country?
I guess everywhere in the country.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Ohio has one of the most complex, if not the most complex, property tax system in the country. And so it does get very difficult to explain your property tax bill. For someone who's not an expert in looking at this, it does get very complicated and very hard to understand.
Well, this has been very, very helpful. I've been talking with Mike Sobel, retired administrator of the Ohio Department of Taxation's Tax Research Division. Thanks so much for your time today, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we talk with the candidates. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking today with candidates for Hamilton County Auditor and Hamilton County Treasurer. Joining me in this recorded interview is former State Representative Tom Brinkman, the Republican candidate for Auditor. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Increased property taxes have hit so many Hamilton County families hard this year. What can the Auditor's Office really do about that?
The Auditor's Office can do a tremendous amount to reduce property tax. The number one thing is to have real appraisals. We have gotten away from real appraisals over an evolution of over 20 years. And now they're being done by some firm up in New England somewhere. We really don't even know where. And they just go look at some Google Earth or Zillow or whatever and come up with numbers. And not only is that unfair to the property taxpayer because they don't know where these numbers come from, but then when they go to the Board of Revision and need to confront the auditor, a real person, they can't. And so if we could bring back real appraisals, we would lower the property tax across the board for all property taxpayers in the area.
When you say real appraisals, what do you mean? What would you do differently?
Well, what you need to do is you need to hire people from this area to go out to the houses and appraise them and not just trust a satellite that beams down a signal and says, oh, well, here this is next to a school, so they get so much, or these houses look like this. We need to really have people who look at, oh, this is a beautiful house if it was in Indian Hill, but instead it's not in a distressed area. So it's not worth the same amount of money. But the satellite doesn't know that. And that's what's happened with the auditor's office. It's gotten off the ranch in doing the right thing. And that's what I would bring back. Real appraisals, hire real people. And I actually looked into the numbers. It would actually save money. You'd save money by hiring this instead of going to this firm that just does analytics and algorithms to figure out what your property tax is.
And do you mean hire real people like full-time or just every 6 years you hire people to go out and do this?
Well, Ohio laws change, so you don't have to hire them every 6 years. They don't work every 6 years. You can actually rotate through the county. You can do a third of the county 1 year, third the next, because every 3 years they do kind of a soft audit, and then you do rotate through again. So the argument back in the 90s when Dusty Rhodes first came in is they were sitting around every third year. Well, now because you can do a third, you can keep them busy. You don't have to hire as many either because, again, they'd be doing a third. And then they'd be around because a lot of people go to this Board of Revision and they can't talk to the person who did the audit. So that's what I would do.
You mentioned the Board of Revisions. Homeowners can contest their valuations, but there are complaints about that process. Don told us about his experience with the Board of Revision.
We went before a flat 5-member board. We thought we did everything they asked us to do. We had a reappraisal done. We have a 25-year-old home. We needed a new roof. We needed a new HVAC system. We got estimates for those. We submitted that evidence along with our other evidence of a reappraisal. They gave us about 10 or 15 minutes to present. They had the original county appraiser there. They asked him a couple questions. They looked at us and they took a vote and they voted against us. And that was pretty much it.
If you were on the Board of Revision as auditor, what, if anything, would you do to change that process?
Well, first of all, the county auditor that they have there is not doing the appraisal, the appraiser, because, again, he's counting on these analytics from far away and just repeating them. We would want to have real people there who actually are appraisals. The ones that when you take a loan on your house or you borrow or get an equity line, those guys come out and see what it really costs. And those are the people we want to have there so there can be some give and take on what does it need, what does it want. They would not have known Don's situation with the new roof and things like that because they didn't see it. And there's also a lot of other monkey business going on with this firm up there. Trying to get off on tangent too much, but they went and lowered the prices on a bunch of homes or properties on Queen City Avenue. That's nice. But then all of a sudden, those people started getting a call saying, hey, we'd like to buy your property. Well, who told you we got lower? Oh, we're with a company called Rubicon. We're a sister company of the appraiser. So there's some funny business there because they want to buy it, get some city loan to put up some low-income housing or whatever. And it's just a mess. We need to get back to real people.
Cincinnati's Property Tax Task Force has recommended making the property tax assessment process more transparent. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great goal. And again, it would be better if you had real people.
Mm-hmm. You were a state lawmaker for many years and a member of the Republican majority. Your opponent says you could have helped make changes at the state level then and didn't. How do you respond to that?
Well, I've seen her comments and she needs to get her facts together. First of all, I voted for a blanket homestead exemption back in 2007 with Governor Strickland. It was the first one in the state in decades. Gave everyone 65 years and older a homestead exemption. Voila, I did something. Number two, when Kasich tried to peel that back, I voted against his efforts to roll that back. Third, we had an opportunity to vote for property taxpayers when they are, what's happening is, when a school district says, boy, we need more money, we're going to go after property taxpayers, again, like the Board of Revisions, and say, we think you owe us more. They send in attorneys paid for by property taxpayers to work against citizens. We thought that practice was unfair. It had been done in Reading. It had been done in Northwest schools. And therefore, we banned it for properties that were $500,000 and below. I voted for that, property taxpayers. My opponent, on the same floor on the same day, she voted against that. She wanted to allow the school districts, she had been on the school board, to go against property taxpayers. So I've stood up for property taxpayers. I've lowered, bought the homestead exemption I voted for, and I protected them against this practice. So I did it.
Are there proposals that are being discussed in Columbus right now to kind of revise how property taxes are calculated? You know, there's been a lot of talk now with these reassessments that you would support.
I'd support them all. But the problem is, I don't think there's a lot of juice for them up in Columbus, to be quite frankly. They look at Hamilton County. We have more tax levies than any county in the state. We tax levy everything. The zoo, the libraries, mental health, children's services, on and on and on. A lot of those services are being done out of the money from the county budget. But instead, the county commissioners are spending them on ridiculous stuff like stadiums and convention centers and a bus that runs around in a circle and does nothing. If they would take care of basic businesses, that would help. And just so you know, when you vote for a levy like the library, money gets put in the bank, makes interest. The interest doesn't stay for the library. The county commissioners pull the money off that and use it to spend on their ridiculous stuff. That's not fair. You voted for the money to go to the library. It should stay with the library.
You proposed a ballot measure that would take $600 million from the sale of Cincinnati Southern Railway to provide property tax relief for city taxpayers. Will you continue to push that effort?
Well, we're collecting signatures still. We are going to put that on the ballot. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea, and it shows that a leader, whether you're a sitting property, you know, I saw my opponent wrote an article right after she was sworn in. I can't do anything, she said. I can't do it. Blame Columbus. Blame this. Blame that. Blame that. It shows that you can do something. We could take $600 million of the money for the Southern Railroad. It would reduce Cincinnati property taxpayers about 18%. For about 15, 20 years. But it is something we could do. And it would also make Cincinnati a lower cost area to move into. So it would actually help property values and help those property taxpayers by having a more valuable property. So yeah, I'm still doing it. It's going well. We're being very strategic on what we're gonna do. So I think it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. If you are elected auditor, what will your top priorities be on day one?
Day one, get rid of this computer appraiser up in New England. Just get rid of them. Hire real appraisers to start working on the county appraisals. That's one and two. Number three, reopen all these Board of Revision hearings that have backed up, like this guy, Don, who you played the tape. We need to look into these because these people have been ripped off. And so those are three things I do right away to make sure it's right. Number four, take campaign stickers off the gas pumps. She put a campaign sticker of her name on the gas pump when it said this has been the pump had been certified.
Didn't Dusty Rhodes do that for years? I think I remember seeing his name on those pumps.
Everybody's name's on there on a standard sticker, but it doesn't have a campaign logo like hers does. That's wrong. She shouldn't have done it. I could file a complaint with the Elections Commission, but you know, it's not worth doing. But the point is, let's do it the right way. and stay above board. So those are some things to do. Number five, I'd like to look into the dog licenses. We're notoriously low in the number of dog license fees that we're getting collecting. They're not following up on it. That money goes directly to help with the stray dogs and the SCPA. So the less money we get in, the less we can work with that population. And I go to people and they go, you know, Tom, if it was easy for me to do, I'd pay it. But I'm not paying it. I mean, even relatives are saying, I'm not paying that because I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to do it. So we need to get those being able where they can be bought at Petco or these other stores and not make it so difficult. So those are some things we could do right away to make life easier for the citizens of Cincinnati.
Well, I have been talking with former State Representative Tom Brinkman, the Republican candidate for Hamilton County Auditor. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, too.
We continue our conversation now with Hamilton County Auditor Jessica Miranda, the Democratic candidate for auditor. She joins me in this recorded interview. Welcome, Auditor Miranda.
Thank you for having me, Lucy.
Thanks for being here. Increased property taxes have hit many Hamilton County families hard this year. What can the auditor's office really do about that?
Yeah, this is a great question because I think there's some misconceptions out in the community on what the county auditor can and cannot do. The county auditor is an administrative office. We are a statutory office, so that means everything that the Ohio State House has told us to do, we must abide by and do. So that means we're in charge of doing revaluations for property, all real property in the county. So residential property, commercial property, industrial property. It happens every 6 years and every 3 years. So it shouldn't ever be a surprise because we do this routinely every 6 years. It just so happens that the market is a little bit better, performing a little bit better than we had thought it would be. We have to appraise all real property at what's called fair market value. So that means what's happening in the market will most likely reflect in the property valuations here in Hamilton County. And then all of your voted levies and all of the things for the municipality for which you live in kicks in, and that's what creates your property tax amount that you have due. So the auditor's office works in values. We do not work in taxes. So this whole idea of we can do things to lower your tax burden is untrue, except for the fact that we administer a couple programs that the state has mandated us to do, which is the homestead exemption and the owner occupancy credit. The homestead exemption, unfortunately, has lost its luster because of all of the changes that the state legislature and previous Governor Kasich made to it. So it doesn't pack a punch anymore, unfortunately, for homeowners. And that is what I have been trying to advocate to our state reps, state senators, and the governor, if he'll listen, that we need to make that better for people. So we need to index it to inflation, and we need to put it back to pre-Governor Kasich levels so that it can actually be meaningful for people and they can start seeing some relief.
Okay. Homeowners can contest their valuations, but there are complaints about that process. Don told us about his experience with the Board of Revision.
We went before a flat five-member board. We thought we did everything they asked us to do. We had a reappraisal done. We have a 25-year-old home. We needed a new roof. We needed a new HVAC system. We got estimates for those. We submitted that evidence along with our other evidence of a reappraisal. They gave us about 10 or 15 minutes to present. They had the original county appraiser there. They asked him a couple questions. They looked at us and they took a vote and they voted against us. And that was pretty much it.
If you remain auditor as a member of the Board of Revision, would you do anything to change that process?
Well, again, we're not bound to do much to change that process by state code. Our hands are kind of tied. We've tried to change some things in the past to which the prosecutor has told us no. But what I would like to do when I am reelected or elected to keep this term I was appointed to as your county auditor is to make this office more public facing, right? It's very ministerial. It's very, closed away in an office, and we don't even have a social media platform in the Hamilton County Auditor's Office. So we have a great website, but we know not everybody's looking at the website. So there needs to be a lot more public education around what the Board of Revision process is and what you need to bring as proof of evidence. And I see us making many, many more strides in that area and making videos, making, you know, social media posts, press releases, whatever we can to get that information to the people so that it's better understood and people are better prepared. But I will say, towards the Board of Revision process, you know, that is the way. If you don't agree with your valuation that you've been given of your property value, there is, you know, room in statute for you to contest that, and that is the Board of Revision process. And it is a process where you go before three offices so that there's three votes, right? It's you against the board of three votes, so to speak. So it's better to do it that way. That way you have more people looking at your case and you have a fairer shot versus trying to, you know, do the cases beforehand or try to complete them in the fall before you get to that January 1 date and only have one person making that decision for you. The process is the process for a reason.
Cincinnati's Property Tax Task Force recommended making the property tax assessment process more transparent. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so we've asked the prosecutor about that in previous years, and they've shot us down. And again, that's kind of the point I was making as the three versus the one. I know that they are doing it a certain way in Franklin County. We were told by our prosecutor's office if we were to do that kind of a mediation route that way, that is against state statute. And we do not want to open up liability for the taxpayers of Hamilton County. Right? We don't want to be sued for not following the code. We want to do everything by the book and do it the right way that the state statute intended to make sure that it is showing up for the people of Hamilton County and doing what's right by the people. I'm not in the business of, you know, making bigger bills for the people of Hamilton County. I'd like to minimize their fraction as much as I can. So, you know, that's something we'll have to look deeper into. But I know that mediation, you know, process specifically that task force report is pointing to is something we've tried to do in the past that we're not legally allowed to do. And like I said, there's a plethora of things I want to do to make this process better, but I need the time to do so. So that's why I'm asking the people of Hamilton County to keep me in this office so we can get this figured out, get it more public facing, and get it working for the people of Hamilton County.
In a prior interview with WVXU, you said your opponent spent nearly two decades in the House and did nothing to make property valuation rules better. He says not true, that he voted for a blanket homestead exemption for homeowners 65 and older in 2007. He also says that in 2022, he supported House Bill 126 to limit the role school boards could play in property tax valuation appeals, and you voted against it. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, you know, I am a Democrat. The Democrats are in the super minority in the Ohio State House. It's plain to see. Anyone can go and look that up. He is a Republican, and he was in the super majority. They even have veto-proof votes against their own governor, and they've used that a plethora of times when we were in the State House serving together. So, you know, he can vote for blanket homestead, but it still didn't go anywhere and it still wasn't signed into law. That is literally the easiest thing the supermajority in the State House could have done, and instead they chose to recess for summer break and fall break. And now our state legislature will not return until November 20th, which is 2 weeks after Election Day. An interesting strategy if you ask someone like me who's running to keep a term that I was appointed to when my dear friend lost her battle to cancer. So, you know, it's all about priorities for me. And if the supermajority of Republicans wanted to prioritize property tax relief for the people of Ohio, they could have done that months ago. They could have done that years ago. They've been in control for a couple decades now with supermajority proof controls. So they should have stood up and done this. We knew this was coming, right? This was no surprise to anyone. We know that we evaluate property every 3 and 6 years. We know the process, and we knew this was coming, and they stood by and they did nothing.
Are there state laws proposed to address these property tax policies that you support?
Yes, there's about 18 bills right now in the State House that have some piece of the pie to do with property tax relief, most of which, I will point out, are bipartisan in nature. But unfortunately, they are not given the legislative process that they deserve. You know, all 18 of these bills should be prioritized so that we can at least have the conversation at the State House level. But unfortunately, that conversation isn't even happening because the Republicans won't give it the legislative process that they have due. They're not even moving through committees, the majority of these bills. So there's a plethora of them that I do support that would give some kind of lasting relief. But like I said in our property tax press conference that we did a few weeks ago, I laid out the numbers for the homestead exemption. There are almost 14,000 residents, less residents of Hamilton County, benefiting from that homestead exemption as it was pre-Governor Kasich, right, when he put the income limits in place. If we just had a homestead exemption that was everyone 65 and over got the benefit of that exemption, and it was indexed for inflation, something like what House Bill 60 is aiming to do, we would have a lot more relief for the people who need it the most, which are our elderly Ohioans. But they haven't prioritized it, and they haven't done virtually anything on this topic before they broke for summer recess.
If you were elected auditor, what would be your top priority on day one?
Yes. So I'm already the current auditor. Right. So I've had, you know, a lot of priorities that we've been doing thus far. I will continue to be your voice as your Hamilton County auditor. We have a County Auditors Association that's comprised of the 88 county auditors across the state. And we do a lot of work. We've gone up and we've done a lot of testimony in the Ohio State House before the Property Tax Review Committee. They know exactly what we need for the people of Ohio. But again, unfortunately, it has fallen on deaf ears and they went on summer break instead of doing anything. So I will continue to be your voice. I will continue to do all of the things that we need to do to make this office more public facing for the people of Hamilton County so that we can educate them on what the Board of Revision process is, what that evidence needs to be to bring it in to win your case, and continue standing up for people and standing out for the people of Hamilton County. We get emails, phone calls every single day for one reason or the other from Hamilton County residents, and our staff is amazing at answering those questions and being there for people when they need it the most. And that is the commitment I make to each and every person of our county. And hopefully I will earn your vote and you will fill in that bubble next to my name, and we'll keep working like we already have been since April and keep putting the people of Hamilton County first.
I've been talking with Hamilton County Auditor Jessica Miranda, the Democratic candidate for auditor. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Lucy.
Up next, the Hamilton County Treasurer's Race. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Our election coverage continues with the Hamilton County Treasurer's Race. We tried to invite Republican Jeff Baker for an interview, but got no response. Joining me in this recorded interview is Hamilton County Treasurer Jill Schiller, the Democratic candidate for the office. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Increased property taxes have hit so many Hamilton County families hard this year. What can the treasurer's office really do about that?
So unfortunately, we are a bit limited in our resources there, as all the change that we need to see, and we need to see it, has to come from Columbus. We do offer delinquency payment plans to folks who are having trouble. You contact my office, we go over some forms, and you will then have, usually it's 5 payments over the next 2.5 years to pay off the amount that's delinquent, so long as you stay current with taxes, and then it's wiped out. We also encourage people to sign up for our TOP program, the Treasurer's Optional Payment, because that way you're paying in advance, which keeps you away from delinquency, and it also is payment month by month. So if you are on a budget, it's a little bit easier to budget for a smaller amount each month than it is to pay those big bills in January and June. And so we're just hoping that people also reach out to their state legislators and talk about the need for change.
Have you had a lot of people applying for those different, the TOP program and the payment plans and that sort of thing?
The payment plans, so our delinquency rate has not really changed very much from the year before. So that's, I think, good news on the whole, though I know there are a lot of people that are feeling this in a much worse way. And we are always increasing our top numbers, and I think that's really efficient and just a great budgeting tool.
Mm-hmm. Homeowners can contest their valuations, but there are complaints about that whole process. If you remain treasurer as a member of the Board of Revision, would you do anything to change the process?
I think that the board is running as efficiently as it can currently. The parameters for how the board operates is set by the auditor's office, and we abide by those. I think it would be great if we could have an increase in folks who can hear these cases. I know that we are actively always recruiting, and we are running three boards at a time right now. So we are running at full steam to clear these cases.
Okay. Cincinnati's Property Tax Task Force has recommended requesting the Ohio Department of Taxation or new legislation give county auditors and treasurers the ability to suspend the assessment and accumulation of late fees on unpaid property taxes. What do you think about that idea?
So it can help and it can hurt, right? Because if we suspend payment, it's still going to be due at some point. And with two collections a year, if we move due dates or suspend payment, then you're still moving that closer to the next bill that's due.
Sure.
And so it's a process.
Yeah. And not to interrupt, but I think their recommendation is to suspend late fees, not the payments themselves, but late fees on unpaid taxes. What do you think about that idea?
I think that would be fine, particularly in this particular instance. Although if you do receive a late fee, and you don't think that it's something that should have been charged to you, you can always file a PRA, a penalty remit application, and plead your case to get that paid back to you.
Okay. Are there state laws proposed to address these property tax policies that you support and would like to see passed?
There are some laws that have been proposed, most notably by Representative Dunny Isaacson, to really reform the homestead credit. We haven't seen anything that tackles head-on the changes that we need in how property tax is assessed and valued by the state. So I'd really like to see some more work done on this. But certainly increasing homestead to a much higher valuation level and a much higher income level to make folks eligible for that would be really helpful, because obviously a lot of the trouble we see is with our older folks who, you know, maybe are on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of, what do you think should be done to really make that work happen, to make that legislative work happen?
Well, I think as we continue statewide going through the revaluation process, you're going to see all 88 counties be contacting their state representatives and state senators, because this valuation rise is going on literally everywhere. The housing crisis is real. We don't have enough stock. Folks are staying in their homes longer, so there's nothing available. And that's true whether you're in Adams or Cuyahoga or Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And so I think hopefully they'll have to work together to get that done.
What are some of the biggest misunderstandings that people have about the treasurer's office and what you do?
There's many. Most people don't know what the treasurer does. And so I'm happy to have an opportunity to explain that. Technically, by law, what I do is really narrow. I collect the property taxes. I distribute the money to where it needs to go, to the townships and villages and districts, and I serve as the chief investment officer for the county. I have a fantastic staff, many of whom have been there for years and years, and they handle the everyday business of that office so well. The institutional knowledge is vast, and we balance to the penny every day. And so that's enabled me to turn my focus towards making the office more community-focused. We've held a bunch of public events to connect people with the COVID aid that was out there for mortgage and property tax relief. And we did that in connection with our nonprofit partners because we wanted to make sure that it was kind of a one-stop help shop. It's been really great to do that and to talk about what the treasurer's office can do. In my first year in office, we hit about 20 township, community council, anybody that would have us to talk about what we can do, describe the delinquency payment plans, the prepayment program, and also serve as just a kind of connector to the county. So outside of collection time, if you have a question and you're not sure where to go, feel free to call my office and we can help point you in the right direction. And, you know, just serve as much of a resource as we can as possible.
Mm-hmm. If you do win this election and you continue to serve as treasurer, as you have been, what will be your top priorities?
So another function that I serve, I sit as the chair of the board of the Hamilton County Land Bank. We take title to vacant and blighted property. They are very vacant, very blighted properties. This is after a sheriff's sale, and work on returning them to productive use. We are looking to form new partnerships with the city, and the port is actively helping us. They administer the land bank, and we're hoping to be able to address those blighted properties in a much more efficient way. There's health effects, there's crime effects, there's education effects, and so it really kind of touches on everybody's wheelhouse. And once that, as we continue that work, we can export it to the rest of the county, because blight is a problem everywhere.
Is that new work for the treasurer's office, or is that something the office has been doing for some time, this work with the land bank?
It's been ongoing. Treasurer Goering also sat as chair of the land bank board, and I think it's just really, really developed in a way that's exciting, that we can do more. And I think we have one of the best land banks in the state, and certainly one of the more active. So,
do you think that's another thing that could help with the housing crisis that we're going through?
Exactly. Yes, because many of these properties are turned into low-income housing and market rate as well. Also, we do bigger projects, brownfield remediation, so we can bring jobs to the area. I mean, it's really obviously better to have something than nothing. And we work with the communities to talk about what they are looking for in those parcels.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I'd like to remind everybody to please get out and vote. Early voting is open now at the Board of Elections, and so you can get out there anytime, and it's very easy, and please vote the whole ballot.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Hamilton County Treasurer Jill Schiller, the incumbent Democratic candidate in the treasurer's race. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
For more election information, check out our voter guide on WBXU.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.